In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For those who do not know what purgatory is a state of purification from all the stains or negative consequences of our sins. It is like passing the soul through the fire of God's love. This fire of divine love makes the blessed happy, and its lack makes the condemned unhappy. Jesus says that you will not get out till you have paid the last penny. Matthew chapter 5, verse 26. For every idle word that men speak, they will give an account on the day of judgment. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Therefore, now each one must be careful how he does the building. On this foundation, different people may build in gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw, but each person's handiwork will be shown for what it is. The day which dawns in fire will make it clear, and the fire itself will test the quality of each person's work. The one whose work stands up to it will receive the prize, and the one whose work is consumed will suffer the damage. He, however, will be saved, but as one who passes through fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. Jesus says that there are sins that will not be forgiven, neither in this world nor in the next, implying that other sins will be forgiven. He says, "Whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven either in this world or in the next." Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. Therefore, it is good and pious to pray for the deceased, so they could be freed from their sins. 2 Maccabees chapter 12, verse 43. Nothing unclean can enter heaven. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Only the pure in heart, as Jesus says, they shall see God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Pray for the souls in purgatory. It is one of the best works of charity that we can do. Many of our brothers and sisters from the 99 Catholics team, when they pass in front of a cemetery, they always remember to pray for the souls of that place. And the priests, every day at Mass, they entrust them with special interest. Sadly, today the custom of cremating corpses is spreading. Of course, the Church allows cremation, when with it the faith in the resurrection of the body is not questioned, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church 2301 says. However, we believe that it would be better to bury the body in order to have a place of reference and to be able to visit it and pray more for the deceased. Some families tend to keep the ashes in their homes indefinitely, but the Church has repeatedly advised that they should bury them in a sacred place. Regarding funerals, it's okay to have them, but with due moderation, without spending a lot of money on flowers and external things, when what the souls need most is masses and prayers. Regarding wakes, you must have respect for the deceased and the relatives, creating an atmosphere of recollection and prayer. It is sad that in some places, they take advantage of these moments to tell jokes, talk about worldly things, and sometimes eat and drink excessively, as if they were at a party. Something similar can be said of the Day of the Dead, when many people usually visit cemeteries. Something especially serious is not fulfilling the obligations contracted with the deceased to celebrate masses for their souls and keeping the money that was meant for it, just as it would be very serious to keep the money meant for medicines to cure a sick person. Another important fact is that money stolen or misused must be paid even in purgatory. Therefore, the children of the deceased parents should pay their parents' debts or give money to missions or charities in order to pay in full their parents' sins in this regard. So for those who stole money or misused the money, please consider to confess those sins to a priest. Let's listen to the case that happened in the city of Montefalco in Italy between the years 1918 and 1919. There were manifestations of a soul in purgatory that were confirmed by some nuns of the convent and were confirmed by Bishop Pietro Pacifici, Bishop of Spoleto Norcia, in the year 1921. This took place in the Poor Clares Convent in the city of Montefalco, Italy. During these apparitions, the nuns could not see the soul from purgatory, but this soul was present to speak briefly and leave alms of 10 lira always. This soul of purgatory would ring the bell at the entrance for the abbess to come down, even when all the entrance doors to the convent and the church were closed. The soul of purgatory used to say, "I leave 10 lira here for prayers." When the nuns asked the soul from whom, the soul replied, "I'm not allowed to say." On October 3rd of the year 1919, the soul clearly told the superior, "I am a soul of purgatory. It's been 40 years that I've been in purgatory for having spent ecclesiastical assets wrongly." On another day, the soul of purgatory said that he was a priest. In total, this soul of purgatory left 300 lira and 38 masses were celebrated for this soul. On November 9th, when the abbess came down to the sound of the bell, the soul of purgatory told her, "Praise Jesus and Mary. I thank you and the community for what you have prayed for me. I am now free of all the damage I did." And at the request of the abbess, the soul gave her the priestly blessing in Latin. The place where these apparitions took place has been transformed into a chapel dedicated to praying for the souls in purgatory, and especially for the deceased priests. It was blessed on February 26th of the year 1924, and a brotherhood has been established there for the benefit of the souls in purgatory. In the life of St. Louis Bertrand, who lived between the years 1526 and 1581, there is an interesting account that this saint had with the souls in purgatory. In the year 1557, there was a plague in the city, and Friar Bennett, to whom St. Louis Bertrand generally confessed, died. The saint told him to let him know where he will be in the other world. The same night that the friar died, he appeared to our saint and told him that he was in purgatory for certain slight defects, especially for having worn a linen shirt for some time, prohibited by the order. The friar begged St. Louis Bertrand to tell the superior to tell the friars to pray for him. Then, our saint, without saying anything about this to anyone, spoke with the superior and told him when he had a community meeting to tell the priests to pray for the soul of Friar Bennett. After 6 or 8 days, a man who knew nothing about this, after having confessed to St. Louis Bertrand, told him that that night he had seen the earth open up and that the soul of Friar Bennett came out of its depths, shining as brilliantly as a star, and rising through the air, entered heaven. In the life of St. Joseph of Lianessa, who lived between the years 1556 and 1612. There is an account where this saint made a pact with a friend named Lorenzo. The superior ordered Saint Joseph of Lianessa to tell him about the apparition of Lorenzo, and the superior assures that the saint told him the following. While Lorenzo was alive, we were students and friends. We were curious to know something about the life after death, and we made a pact among ourselves that the first to die would come to let the other know what the life after death was like. Lorenzo died, and 3 days later he appeared to me and said, "I have been saved by the grace of God. O brother Joseph, how strict are the things of the other world?" And then he disappeared. The superior clarified that the apparition was at noon, when Saint Joseph of Lianessa was in his cell, resting, and that the deceased entered through the window and stood next to the door. And from that time, Saint Joseph of Lianessa took the firm determination to do everything he can to save himself. In the life of Saint John Bosco, also known as Don Bosco, who lived between the years 1815 and 1888, there is an account related to these purgatory pacts. Our saint tells us, "On the night of April 4th of the year 1839, the day after Tommaso's burial, I was resting with 20 other seminarians in the dormitory. I was thinking precisely of the promise we had made to each other, that the first to die would appear to the other. And as if I knew what was going to happen, I was seized with a terrible fear. At midnight, a soft rumbling was heard at the end of the corridor, a whisper that became more sensitive, darker, more acute as it progressed. It resembled the noise of a great cart with many horses, or of a moving train, or like the firing of cannons. I don't know how to express it except by saying that it created such a violent set of noises and gave such great fear that it cut off the speech of those who perceived it. As I approached the bedroom door, I left behind the walls, the vaults, and the pavement of the corridor in a thundering vibration, to the point that everything seemed to be made of iron plates, shaken by powerful arms. It was not possible to appreciate how far it was advancing. There was an uncertainty like that left by a train, whose point of route cannot be known, if one judges only by the smoke that rises through the air. The seminarians in that bedroom wake up, but no one could say a word. I was petrified with fear. The noise was getting closer, more and more terrifying. It already sounds close, so close that it is sitting next to the bedroom. The door opens, by itself, violently. The roar continues louder, without anything being seen, except for a little light of various colors that seems to regulate the sound. Suddenly, there is silence. The light shines brightly, and Tommaso's voice is heard clearly, weaker than when he was alive, saying three consecutive times, "Bosco, Bosco, I have saved myself." At that moment, the bedroom became brighter. The noise that had ceased was heard again, with much more violence, like a thunderclap that would sink the house. But it ceased immediately, and everything was left in darkness. The seminarians, jumping out of bed, fled without knowing where to go. Some took refuge in a corner of the bedroom. Others crowded around the dormitory of the superior. And they spent the rest of the night awaiting the light of day. They had all heard the noise. Some heard the voice, without understanding what it said. They asked each other what that noise and what that voice meant, and I, sitting on my bed, told them to calm down, assuring them that I had clearly heard the words, "I have been saved." Don Bosco himself assured that the change in the life of the seminarians as a result of this event was radical. God allowed this event for the good of everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.